Yes. Even I forgot.
Great job, Cassie.
Thank you, Cassie.
Yes.
Thank you, Zane.
I'd like to welcome up Oscar Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. Thank you, Zane. This is Zane. I love the Z's. So Z's. So what's up, church? How are we doing?
Good morning.
Feeling very spiritual, high on the Lord a little bit today. Let's go, baby. Okay, I'll pull up my notes. All right. So, thank you, John. Thank you for welcoming us, my wife and I. Grateful to be here. You shared the story about the rock, which is kind of cool. So I did get his truck. I don't know if you saw it. You probably all saw it on social media. I mean, it was viral. Viral. I don't have the truck anymore. I sold it, made a pretty penny off that and used it to pay for our wedding, not our marriage. Woo! Even though I used it for our wedding and our honeymoon and paid off some bills, took care of some business, put us in a better spot. So, grateful to God for that. And there is a deeper story with that. So maybe one day I'll get to share that. So thank you for bringing it up, John. Appreciate that. So, good morning, church. My name, as John said, and Zane, is Oscar Rodriguez. I have the privilege here to be here with you today. And since this is my first time preaching, first time here at this church, kind of want to start with telling a little bit more about who I am.
Come on.
So first, I'm originally from Miami, Florida. Anybody from the East Coast here? Is everybody East Coast? Okay. All right, East Coast, let's go. My wife's from the West Coast, so I was born and raised in the East Coast. So I'm getting used to the weather. It's a little too cold for me, but we'll see. God brought me to Los Angeles about 7 years ago. And I've been a disciple for about 9 years now. And I actually just celebrated my spiritual birthday just this past week on December 3rd.
Nice.
So super grateful to be here today. Yep. You know, funny enough, I did pray. I was praying for an opportunity to share my story again. And so here we are, I get an opportunity to share my story and preach and talk about the scriptures, what I love to do. So this is wonderful. So being here today, opening scriptures with you means so much to me, honestly. Like I said, I'm married, to my beautiful, fun, absolutely never a dull moment wife, Jessely. It's J-E-S-S-E. E-L-I. So, Jess, Eli, but Jess Ellie. Okay. Kind of a Hebrew play on words there. We've been married for two and a half years, and honestly, she keeps me grounded. She keeps me laughing and pushing forward in my walk with God. And honestly, a lot of who I am today is because of the grace of God working through our marriage and through the community He has placed us in. And speaking of community, we're currently members of the West Side Church in Culver City. Do you guys know where the West Side Church? I've heard of the West Side Church.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, come visit if you guys want to come visit. It's a great spot. I mean, I've been there, for 6-7 years now. And my wife, she studied the Bible there, got baptized there. So I love that spot. I love it. I'm also a Navy veteran, a fitness coach, actor. Maybe not so much now, but that's why I moved to LA, by the way. And then honestly, I'm someone whose life has been radically transformed by Christ. Radically. I'm not standing here because I grew up spiritual, or because I lived some clean, polished life. I mean, the truth is, I was spiritually dead. Completely dead. And I didn't even know it, but God stepped in. And God made me alive. Yeah. And that's why today's message in Christ. And that's why today's message means so much to me. I mean, yeah, alive in Christ, John. I got you. And that's why today's message means so much to me. We're going to look at what it means to be alive in Christ, straight from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And throughout today's message, you'll get to hear my testimony. So before we jump in, let's pray. All right. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here today, God. Thank you for the opportunity my wife and I have here to meet the Merced Church. Thank you for giving us these hearts, these ears for us to speak to. God, I pray that we're all just ready to listen to your word, God. Remove me, you know, take me out of the picture. Use my story. Use your story. Use your power in my life to move the hearts in this room, God. We love you. Thank you. I pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here's a little picture of my wife and I on our wedding day. Yeah, we got married on Redondo Beach. It was, we just got a permit and we brought chairs and got married there and it was beautiful. It was amazing. Actually, it was in April, so the weather was spotty. A little bit of rain, a little bit of sun. We didn't know it was going to rain, but it was a beautiful day. Man, it was so amazing. God definitely came through for us. I'm super grateful. Okay. Now, I do have a question for you guys. By show of hands, how many people here like scary movies? Y'all like scary movies? Okay. All right. So let me tell you, I absolutely hate scary movies. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm a wimp. I do not like scary movies. I mean, my life is scary. You know, not so much now. It's still a little, you know, walk in faith, but before, lots to be afraid about, you know. I'm not into demons, ghosts, or jump scares, anything like that. None of it. Life has enough stress. So why am I going to add more to the plate? You know what I mean? So, but there is one category of scary movies that I actually enjoy. It's zombie movies. I actually like zombie movies. I don't get scared. I actually get thrilled. I really enjoy it. I get into it. And at the top of the list for me, if you guys haven't seen it, is a Korean zombie movie, Train to Busan. You guys seen it? Oh man. Yeah, I love it.
I've been on that train.
So have I. I've been on that train too. I was just going to say that. Yeah, Train to Busan from Seoul to Korea down to Busan. It's fantastic. So back in my single days, right here, as my wife is right there with her afro, okay, and that's me. I'm a Colombian a coffee maker or plantation owner, whatever you want to say, and that's Chuka, one of my best friends, and there's a singles ministry there. And it's not just the west side, it's actually a lot of different mixes. We just hosted a movie night and we watched Train to Busan and we were just having a blast, honestly. We use these movie nights to get together and that whole room turned into chaos, honestly. You know, we were screaming, jumping, yelling at the TV. It was wild and a lot of fun. Really, really cool. And we were single at the time, so we weren't really, you know, talking. So, but these are opportunities where we got to fellowship and become friends. And, you know, that's the logo and obviously zombies. So, give me one second here. All right. So, but the thing is this about zombies is that they're walking around, right? Moving, breathing, chasing people down, right? But they're dead. But they're dead. Thanks, John. Completely dead. They're completely dead. And the question that I always wonder when I watch these movies is, do zombies know that they're zombies? I don't know. I mean, there might be a movie out there, but I've never seen a movie where a zombie stops and says, "Hey man, I think I might be dead. Can somebody help me?" Warm Bodies?
Yeah.
I didn't see it though. So I heard. There might be one. That's what I said. I didn't know. I did look it up. I was like, is there a movie? And there was one. Warm Bodies. Yeah. But generally speaking, no, not very often. They never ask for help. They don't even know their condition. Mm-hmm. You know? So, and the more I think about that, the more I realize Paul, the disciple Paul, Apostle Paul, is saying the same thing in Ephesians 2. Spiritually, a lot of people don't know their condition either. So today we're going to look at one of the most powerful descriptions of the human condition without Christ and what God does about it. This passage changed my life, literally. God used this scripture to wake me up from being spiritually dead. So let's go to it. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. So I'll read it through. You guys with me?
Yes.
Cool. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, NIV. It reads, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. when you follow the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're going to take the scripture, we're going to kind of dissect it and share my story along with it. So Paul, and as you can see in the very beginning, Paul doesn't ease into it. He starts right away with, "You were dead." Okay? You were dead. So it doesn't say you were struggling or confused or having a rough season, right? He says you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Again, not sick, not limping, not spiritually out of shape, needing to do some spiritual push-ups, right? I mean, dead. You know, some commentaries I read, it's like being a corpse at the bottom of the trenches of the ocean. Like, so dead, so far away, you know, only God can resurrect. But spiritual death is invisible to the person who's dead. Right? Just like zombies living out its normal zombie life, doing its thing, day to day, right? People walk around completely unaware of their true condition. Some of the most successful, disciplined, talented, charismatic people you'll ever meet are spiritually dead. So, Paul describes people who are dead in this way. In Ephesians 2 through 3, in it, we find the ways in which a person can be spiritually dead. It's a description of a dead heart. It says right here, in the ways you used to live when, one, followed the ways of this world. Follow the ways of this world, not the ways of God, but the ways of how this world functions, right? We just stay locked into that and we don't consider what the scriptures are saying, right? Follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which, you know, when you do your deep dive, you'll start to understand that that's, you know, the enemy, Satan, if you want to say. Following the cravings of the flesh. That can seem pretty reasonable to understand, right? Hey, I have a craving. I'm hungry, right? I need to eat. That's normal. There's so many other cravings that are flesh desires. Following the desires and thoughts of the flesh. So in that, we were by nature deserving of wrath. This was me. 100%. And here's the crazy part. I didn't know it. And not, I was a zombie of zombies. Yep. So, here's a couple pictures of me. I don't know if you can see it. I mean, I know we got somebody on Zoom, but I don't know if you guys can see that. Alright, you know. Over here, I used to own a gym in San Diego. You know, I was a Navy veteran. I had friends. You know, I'll share about that in a little bit. That's a mugshot. So, yeah, it's not my license. It's a mugshot. So, you know, I've had kind of a interesting, you know, before Christ, interesting story, and I'm going to share that right now. So back in 2015, 2016, at that moment, I was a gym owner. I had a gym down in San Diego, pretty big gym. I would say, maybe, 6 times the size of this, you know, not say like a large, like 24-hour fitness, but it was a community gym. I had a thriving community. I had about 150 clients. You know, early 30s. I mean, you know, 27, 26 in early 30s, late 20s. So I was, you know, fit, young, younger, financially stable. I had a, what I considered a great circle of friends. They were fun, you know, I had a lot of fun with them. You know, I was, you know, at the time, I didn't put a picture up there, but I was engaged at the time in 2015, 2016. I was engaged to a woman I thought I would marry. You know, my life actually looked pretty cool from the outside. But even though things might look alive, my soul had no pulse. On the side that nobody saw, I was living a completely different life. I was a weekend warrior, lived what you call a Burning Man lifestyle, which is kind of like a new age hippie, into all kinds of impurities and drug use, you know, sexual morality. I did not share any of these things to the public. My clients had no clue. I was into pornography, drugs, alcohol. I even went to, you know, as an entrepreneur, I made sense of it in my mind that it was okay to even deal drugs. I mean, I'm not talking about just a little bit here and there. I'm not talking about like a little mini business of how to make some money so I didn't have to pay for things, right? And then that kind of evolved in friendships. And next thing you know, I was kind of way over my head. Essentially, what I was doing is I was feeding people's addictions, right? Thinking I wasn't hurting anybody. I mean, I thought I was a good person. I didn't, you know, drugs weren't bad. It's just you got to know how to use them. You know, if you use them a certain way, it's okay. Because, you know, it makes somebody feel good. You know, that's kind of the idea. But, man, I was so wrong. Completely deceived by the ways of this world. And that's kind of what being spiritually dead looks like. To me, right? In my life. You feel alive, you think you're living, you think you're fine, but you're actually dead inside. And you don't even know it. Just looking to gratify the next thing. So, and like Paul says, eventually the cravings catch up to you. Cravings in the flesh catch up to you. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. Oh yeah. And the path to death always leads to destruction. And that's what leads to this picture right here. So this is where things started to, you know, cave and crumble. So when I was in my gym, early 2016, you know, the DEA had been investigating me. And I had no idea. You know, I had a kind of a guy who was working kind of an undercover cop in a way, you know, and I didn't realize who I was talking to. And the DA barged into my gym and caught me red-handed, so to speak, and arrested me in front of my community. Wow. You know, some of my clients knew and watched, but you can imagine how the gossip would spread. And, not only that, but after I got arrested and got, you know, taken to jail, you know, my mom used to live with me and they raided my house. And they, dragged my mom out and tried to interrogate her and she had no clue. She was like 70 years old. She's not like a young buck, you know, that's very traumatizing for my mom. My landlord obviously found out because of all the cops and, the landlord, you know, filed an eviction notice. You know, I bailed out, but, my world was upside down. You know, I lost respect of my clients. You know, my clients were canceling. That was, how I was making money. I wasn't making any money with drugs anymore. So, I just didn't know what to do. Everything was falling apart. I was facing five years in jail. Not too much, but enough to completely transform my mind and my heart over, you know, my actions and looking for something to change, you know. My entire world was collapsing in 48 hours, honestly. But, you know, the funny thing is God didn't do that to punish me. He allowed it. That's right. to wake me up. He allowed it to wake me up. And this is exactly what Paul means when he says we were by nature children of wrath. Not because God hates us, but because sin always leads to death. So, every time I hit this button, it just changes it for me here. Alright. And so, moving from Ephesians 2, we're going to go to Romans 6:23. Just really quickly, you don't have to turn there, but it's up on the screen. For the wages of sin is death. Let me read it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, I deserve my wage. In the same way an employee deserves their paycheck. Okay? From a hard day's work. I deserve all that sin brings. And that's death. So people don't realize they're spiritually dead until the life they built comes crashing down. Some of you in this room are functioning, smiling, posting on social media, you know, working. But inside, maybe, you know, there's no spiritual life. So you might feel dead spiritually and don't even know why. Some of you might feel numb and think that's normal. Some of you have a pulse on Sunday, but flatline Monday through Saturday. But here's the good news, right? God doesn't leave us in that condition. Paul doesn't end with, you were dead. That's just a diagnosis. He goes on to show us the cure. And the cure isn't self-help. It's not religion. It's not trying harder. It's not behavior modification. Mm-hmm. The cure is actually two words. But God. So, if you read this, here's the why, but here's the, what he's trying to say. But God stepped in. Okay? So, your story doesn't change and it's transformed because you tried harder. It changed because God stepped in. Now read it. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
That's right.
See, here's the things. Here's the key truths right here. God moves first. He allows or he intervenes. But he moves. Why does he move? When you look at the scripture, because of his great love. His love is the motive. Mercy, which he's rich in. Mercy is the fuel. Right? Let me break that down a little bit more instead of going back and forth. Grace. It is by grace. Greatest is the method. And Christ, in Christ, with Christ is the source. So resurrection is the result of God. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to transform our lives, not just make us alive, but resurrect our lives from the dead. So God didn't make me better. He made me alive. He made me alive in that moment. He breathed some kind. Actually, I take that back. I'll share that in a second. So let me take you back to my turning point. Actually, that's what I want to say. So my turning point is after the DEA raided my house and after the arrest and, you know, after losing everything, you know, my engagement actually was collapsing because honestly, the woman who I loved at the time or I was looking to be with kind of had no, she was kind of my partner in the whole thing, you know, and she had no impact on my despair. So I realized, man, no woman can heal the pain that I have in my heart. The shame hit, the fear of those 5 years in prison was weighing on me. I had to go back to work because I owned the gym and put on a mask, a very thick, heavy mask in front of anybody new that walked in. That had no idea of what happened, right? That was the, man, I was talking about being fake. Wow. Just putting on a smile, not realizing what I was going through. I tried going to church. I really wanted to go to church. I grew up Catholic, so I thought, you know what? Let me find God. Let me go to church and see. I need something deep to be fixed. Just didn't know what. So I went to Catholic church and, you know, tried to go to services there and did the confessions, but my heart was still in despair and melting. The fiance I had was raised Mormon, so I decided, let me go to Mormon church and do the whole thing there. And, you know, we can go down the weeds there, but let's not do that. It'd take too long. essentially, I realized, you know, that wasn't it. I felt like I would have to, I didn't have any motivation. There was no motivation to live that life. Even though the lives looked good, deep down, I was still broken. Went to other church services, did the altar calls, did the prayer to Jesus in my heart. I really tried. But I still would walk back to my life. And I did not want to. I just didn't want to. I was so broken. So, after all the religious attempts and trying to fix myself or find something in church, after all that disappointment, you know, what really broke my back was my lawyer calling. I had hired the most expensive lawyer, used all my savings, because I wanted freedom. So I wanted the guy who was going to be able to get that for me. He called me and he wanted more money. So, man, I was out of money, out of options, out of strength. And that really took the hope away. Because I thought, well, if he wants more money and I don't have it, will he continue to represent me? You know, I just so many thoughts in my mind. So I literally, after that call, you know, after the arrest, it was months later, I came to the end of myself, and that's where God began. That's where God began. I remember that day, I fell to my knees in prayer, and I prayed that prayer, you know? You guys might know that prayer. Some of you might have prayed it. That prayer when your soul's on the line. God, if you're real. Anybody prayed that prayer? Anybody in here? Yeah, some of you? Yeah, okay. God, if you're real. Man, that's quite the prayer, you know? Sincerely, if you pray that prayer, it's a powerful prayer. And I said, God, I need you. I need you to save me right now. Not tomorrow, not the day before, not a week from now. Like, this is it. Right now. You know, I wasn't praying for motivation. I was praying to turn over my whole life. I wanted to pray, you know, I didn't want to pray to improve my life. I was a dead man asking for life, you know? And, I remember, you know, praying that prayer in that moment on my knees. And honestly, God spoke to my heart, not directly, but in a very tiny way, because that's what grace does, right? It meets you at your lowest point, lifts you up. So for me, after that prayer, something inside me, I'd say the Spirit, God, right, nudge me to grab my old dusty Bible from high school. Wow. Does anybody got an old dusty Bible from high school? Anybody? I went to a Catholic church, a Catholic high school, by the way. So I had an old dusty Bible, just like hiding. I mean, there's this new song. You guys heard that new song, Old Dusty Bibles? I wanted to sing that, but I mean, I should have told you about that. I was going to sing it too. You ever heard it? Oh, it's a good song. It's new. So I prayed that prayer. And I went and grabbed that old dusty Bible. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know where to start. I just opened it. And guess what chapter I opened it to? Yo, I'm not even joking. I went like this. I'm going to read anything. And I just like, okay, start here. Read that. So when I say that God moves, God moves. I mean, that's like winning the lottery. I mean, how many pages are in the Bible? I could have started from Genesis. I could have started from Revelations. I could have started anywhere. It's, yeah, but God led me to here. This is why I felt that this is what I needed to talk about today. So, I read Ephesians 2, and God spoke straight to my soul. You were dead. And I was. And it told me why. And I understood my sin, my nature, what I've been doing for the last 30 years, what I've been chasing, why has I just been gratifying my pleasures, and that's all I've been doing my whole life. Just like, what makes me happy? Right? I mean, we live in America, right? Pursuit of happiness, right? That's what we do here, right? In America. But we should be pursuing joy. Where's that? Right? But God made me alive. So I didn't quite understand it, to be honest with you. But I knew God was speaking to me. I mean, that was written 2,000 years ago. I was like, oof, this is so perfect. Wow. But when I read that, it was like my soul took its first breath. First. I was like, yeah, it's a corpse. Finally, a little bit of meat on the bone. It was insane. In that moment, though, I felt some hope for the first time in months after all the hardship and challenges. So when I read the scripture, I knew God was real. I knew it, without a doubt. And I started praying again. It's like, God, change me. Help me. What do I do? I don't even want to know myself. I don't even want to know my name even. I don't want to know anything about me. I want to live a new life. Where do I go? What do I do? What church do I go to? I've been going to so many churches. I don't even know where to worship. Like, what do I do, Lord? Where do I go? I was just sincerely praying. But the other thing I was doing is reading my Bible for the first time.
Yeah.
For real, for me. I mean, nobody was trying to teach me anything. I wasn't going to church, listening to just sermon. I was just reading my Bible for the first time. And the Bible, as I read through, you know, they have, what do they call those little things on the side of the Bible? The tabs, little tabs where it takes you, you read a scripture, and then there's like, if you want to know more, you cross references. Yeah. I started jumping around left and right. I started going everywhere on the Bible. It was lit, man. The Bible was lit. And so I was reading about Moses going to the mountain to meet with God and Jesus going up to pray at the mountain. And I was like, I like hiking. I like going to the mountain. I did sunrise hikes all the time. Actually, I did a birthday hike with friends. Like, I like hiking. So I'm like, I'm gonna go to the nearest mountain. By the way, this is all in San Diego. Cow's Mountain. Yeah. Cow's Mountain. Yeah. Exactly. Cow's Mountain. Cow? Yeah. Cow. C-O-W-L-E-S. So I went to Cow's Mountain. So I prayed, but remember, I prayed to meet the church. I prayed for, you know, a change. I prayed for something. And then I read, and I just activated my faith by, I want to meet God. So I went to Cow's Mountain. I didn't go to sleep. I was up all night reading the Bible.
Wow.
And, that morning, I was like, I put on my pack, and mind you, my ex-fiance was just sleeping. I was just having this whole thing on my own, man. It was wild. I went hiking. I went up to this mountaintop, and I went sunrise hike, see the sunrise, Bible in hand, searching for God. And you wouldn't believe this, but two disciples from our church just happened to be going on a prayer hike that morning. And I was in a little corner spot reading my Bible, and they saw me from a distance, and they said, hey, are you reading a Bible? I was shocked, because I thought I was hiding. I didn't want anybody to see me. You know? I was like having this personal experience, but they somehow, I don't even know to this day, like how they saw me, but they saw me and they came and, you know, they shared a very awesome scripture with me. And, I didn't write it up. Oh, I did. Yeah. Perfect. And they shared this scripture with me, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, said, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. I went up looking for God, and here's what I got. And right there, God confirmed his presence over my life. And I knew things were about to change, finally. That's grace, y'all. That's God being rich in mercy. That's God stepping into my story. So, you need to hear, if you need to hear this today, I want you to know that I didn't earn salvation, right? I didn't work my way into life. I didn't get clean first. I didn't fix myself. I didn't behave my way to God, right? As it says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not from yourselves, not by works, so no one can boast. Right? My transformation is not a testimony of my strength. It's a testimony of God's grace. Okay? God didn't save clean people. He cleans saved people. God didn't fix the old me. He resurrected a new me. Salvation is not earned. It's received. Grace is not a reward. It's a rescue. Now, grace didn't just bring me back to life, but it brought me into purpose. Now, I hope you guys have been following. There's been 3 points that I wanted to share, right? We got dead without knowing it. I forgot to mention that, okay? Made alive in Christ, right? And then raised with purpose. So as it says in the last point there, you know, in Jeremiah earlier, sorry, I know I just shared another scripture here. I'm just kind of catching myself. God didn't say, I forgive you. He said in Jeremiah that he had a plan for me, right? He had a plan for me. So this is where it comes to raised with purpose. So now in Ephesians 2, 10, at the very end of there, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's God's handiwork. It's God's hands that created us. Okay. His design, he created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, not without Christ or outside of Christ, in Christ. He has prepared it already for you. Not only did he prepare it, but he had it planned well in advance. You aren't an accident. You're a masterpiece designed with intentionality, restored with purpose and set apart for impact. Paul is saying that when God raises you to life, he also hands you a mission. Right? Grace isn't the finish line. It's the starting line. It's where it begins. Salvation isn't the end of my story or anybody's story here. It's the beginning of a new one. God didn't just save you from something, right? Thank you, John. I was waiting to see who knew. He saved you for something, baby.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, God woke me up from my spiritual death and everything changed. So let me tell you something. Once I met the people at the top of the mountain, I went, they invited me to church and I was like, yes, whatever church you're going to, I want to go. So send me, please. And so that was a Saturday, went on Sunday. And went to church, and that's where John was there. That's how I know John and Jan. They were there.
Wow.
And in the mission region in San Diego. And brothers came up and said, hey, you want to study the Bible? I was like, yes, please teach me everything. I don't know. You know, and in the studies, I wrestled with repentance. What does repentance really look like? Okay, I know I believed in God, but how do I activate that faith in my life? And that started with repentance. Right? How do I repent? Right? I had to face my addictions head on. Okay? I couldn't just keep them with me. Right? I confronted my impurity. I confronted the greed. Right? I confronted my whole old lifestyle. I had to make some really hard decisions regarding my engagement. I realized that that relationship was not honoring God. And she, though she tried to study the Bible, decided not to continue. And I knew that that was not going to honor God. It wasn't going to fill me in the same way that the scriptures do. So I had to make that decision to leave that relationship. I walked away from my old identity. I ended up selling my gym. Okay. I knew I had to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. And when I made that decision, I moved out because I was living with my ex-fiance at the time. I moved out. I had nowhere to go. But John and Jan had a place for me. So they had a place for me. So I'm one of those stray cats and stray dogs out there that needed somewhere to go. So I went to the Oaks house, man, and you know, they're very, very impactful in my life. And shortly thereafter, I got baptized, and I began my new life in Christ. Found a real community. I grew spiritually, you know. All that happened after my baptism, which was December 3rd, right? Became a disciple. And, you know, God's taken me to so many different places. You know, committed to L.A. and, you know, found my beautiful wife. My wife now, right? My wife. From not knowing what was going to happen, leaving a relationship that didn't honor God to, you know, not necessarily guaranteeing that I would be in one and another relationship, but finding a woman of God who truly loves God, prays, reads the scriptures, tries to hold me accountable to them. And what a difference that makes to my soul, man. To my soul. Not to my flesh, not to my body, to my soul. So now here I am, 9 years later, standing here testifying God's purpose. I didn't just get a second chance. I got a new life. God took a dead man and made him a leader. God took a man full of sin and made him a vessel of grace. How much time do we have? Who knows? God took a man lost in addiction and gave him a ministry, baby. You know? God took a life that was broken and gave it purpose. God always gives purpose to those he brings to life. Right? So, purpose begins when repentance. When I started repenting, that's when I started really understanding what it meant to follow Christ. Okay, because we can understand the little details there, but repentance is key. Okay, it appears, purpose appears when your old self dies. Okay, it grows when you walk in the Spirit. It activates when you obey God's Word. Amen. Even when it hurts, that's how we grow. Okay, flourishes when you stay connected to the body. You really do. Okay, you build those relationships, they feed into your life in so many different ways. And your purpose multiplies when you share your story, when you evangelize and connect with people and share your life, just like I am today. You don't find purpose by chasing your dreams, you find purpose by following Christ. Okay, I think we got another 5 minutes, okay? Sorry. I don't know, I'm getting so into this. I'm getting so into it. Are we good? Y'all good? Y'all need to stand up? I don't know, man. Let's go. Alright, so for some of you here today, you may have forgotten your purpose. Alright? You've been made alive, but you're not living in the purpose God raised you for. Okay? For others, you've maybe never stepped into that purpose, but, you know, it's not too late, right? God has prepared for you a life to live with purpose. You're still you may be still spiritually numb, but there's life in Christ. When God saves you, He calls you. When God raises you, He leads you. When God gives you a new life, He expects you to walk in it. Okay, so let me end here by speaking to two different groups. I assumed, I didn't know, you know, what the makeup would be, and I just assumed there could be some disciples in here who made Jesus the Lord of their life, and some who maybe still seeking. So I just kind of want to bring it back to Jeremiah 29:11 real quick, you know, and just to confirm something here. You know, His purpose was confirmed. His purpose in my life was confirmed that very morning on the mountain, you know, after He woke me up. It says in verse 11, right? Verse 11, which we already went to. For I know the plans I have you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. But what most people forget or don't continue reading maybe is the power in verse 12 through 14. So in this, it says, then you will call on me and come pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Say it with me, church. All of your heart. Okay? I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. This is God talking to His chosen people who are far from Him. People who have lost their identity, people who are in captivity. And He says, hey, if you seek me, I'll bring you back. Amen. God is calling every person in this room. He's calling you out of death into life, out of captivity. out of the world's ways of this world, right? And into purpose, out of the cravings of the flesh and into the fullness of the Spirit. I hope you really consider taking that step today. Amen. Now, some of you here, some of my followers of Christ here, some of you may feel, you may have been made alive in Christ, but over time, you know, you may have felt numb. Maybe you're not walking in the Word. Maybe you used to burn for God and obey God's Word. It's kind of, the fire has cooled. Maybe you're drifting. I don't know. But I want you to ask yourself, right? Does your life match your faith? Are your works showing your faith or exposing your drift? Are you still seeking God with all your heart? Or seeking Him only when life gets tough? And for those of you that are visiting, I want you to, you know, I want you to know that you don't need to hit rock bottom like I did, you know? You don't need to collapse. You don't need it. You don't need the DA knocking on your door. You don't need any of that. You don't need to wait for disaster to discover your need for Jesus. You don't need that. Okay? Take my word for it. Okay? So, I will say this. When He says, you will seek Me and find when you seek Me with all your heart, and I will bring you back from captivity, He will do just that. I think it's time to get serious about God and time to seek Him. Okay? So if you do, right, ask the person next to you or someone who invited you, you know, let's get into those Bible studies, right? Seek Him, call on Him. He will listen. God will respond and He will make you alive in Christ. So, all right, church. So, the one big question that I had about this and just to kind of the last part is I wasn't sure how that all worked. I didn't know how it all worked. I just trusted it, but I didn't know how. I learned in Bible studies what the how was. But we're actually going to talk about that in just a few minutes because my wife, my fashionable, loving wife, Jessely, after the worship, will be leading us in communion today and she's going to share a little bit on the how. She's going to take us to the cross and because that's where the answer is. Church, thank you for letting me share. Thank you for listening with open hearts. I pray today's message draws you close to Jesus and helps you walk in life He's called you to. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace. Thank you for raising us from spiritual death and giving us new life in Christ. God, I pray for everyone here. Revive our hearts. Strengthen our faith. Lead us back into purpose. The purpose you have already prepared for us. And for everyone who is seeking you now in this room, I pray you open their eyes, soften their hearts, and draw them into your presence. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's it. Thank you, bro.
Alrighty.
How long was that?
I have a song.
Okay.
Thank you. As you know, this is a portion of our service. I like to focus on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, called the Lord's Supper or Communion. Is this yours?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought I might need it.
You just might.